Thank you. Good morning.
Great to worship with you in person and also online. Hopefully you found the bulletin already online. If not, it's on our website under the Staying Connected to God's Word link, or also under the media link. You can also find it on the weekly email that gets sent out if you're on our email list. We're at the first Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord. A question for you. Would you agree that there is a whole bunch of unloved people in the world? Maybe you feel like you're one of them. While you or others may not have human love, God has a love for all people. Christmas was and is the proof. And the proof continues as we hear about Jesus in the flesh, doing what he did for all people out of love. A love like no one else has for us. And so our service today focuses in on the love that God has for you. God be praised for that. Let's turn our attention to our words of invocation on page 3. God our Father, each day is a gift of your grace.
Your mercy is renewed every morning.
Guide our steps by the light of your word.
Shield us from harm and keep us from evil.
Better than life is your love.
Put joy in our hearts and praise on our lips. Hallelujah.
Praise be to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Please stand. From Lamentations 3, this I call to mind.
And therefore I hope.
Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail.
They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
I say to myself, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion.
So great is his unfailing love.
For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men.
Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Let us give glory to God, our light and our life.
Let us worship him.
Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Keep us who are baptized into Christ faithful in our calling as your children, and make us heirs with him of everlasting life. Please be seated. From Psalm 119, your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens.
Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth, and it endures.
How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path.
A fitting introduction to our readings from Holy Scripture for this first Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord. We first of all have a reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Samuel 16, reminding us to not get caught up or deceived by outward appearances, and here's why. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eli and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Not by anything we do. Why do those words matter? A reading from Holy Scripture, Titus chapter 3. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. The Word of the Lord. Please stand for the Gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Holy Gospel of St. Luke, the third chapter, where Jesus is officially introduced to the world. His journey to the cross, it has no turning back now. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water. But one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we now continue with our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace remain yours in great abundance. Thanks to God our Father, and this through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to focus our attention back on the words of Titus 3. We hear once again this: He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who truly indeed came to save us from our sins and to win for us a permanent home in heaven. What are some basic truths people need to know to get through this life? Let's mull that over for a moment. What advice would you pass on to someone else about what they truly need to know to get through this life? Well, one thing, people need to know that life is going to be full of disappointments and heartache. Let's just get that one on the table right away. People also need to know that self-esteem is not going to come just by following the mainstream. The designer jeans you wear, or the jewelry you wear, or the cologne, or the perfume you wear, whatever it is, that's not really how you get your self-esteem. People need to know that money really does not grow on trees, and money is not an automatic key to happiness or a sign of success. People need to know why bad things happen. And when you do bad things, there will be consequences. Now, we can look to the commandments as examples of what bad things are. People need to know that there is a God, the God of the Bible, and that the God of the Bible loves them and has done something for them because He loves them. And it's that last truth, essential truth, which is good for people to know while living here on this earth, that we want to build on more. Thanks to the Holy Spirit having the Apostle Paul record these words through Titus, or to Titus. And so our emphasis today is, know this: justified by grace. To us, gathered here in this place and watching online, to us who are Lutherans, but you can't take that for granted with all Lutherans anymore. It's such a simple truth, one that's been ingrained in us, and we might easily gloss over. But it's such a powerful truth, and it's essential to know. The fact that we are justified by grace, this is because of God's kindness and love. The Apostle Paul is led to highlight this truth. And as we look at these words of Titus, well, we know that the gospel in a nutshell can be summed up for us in John 3:16. But if you want to expand on that gospel just a little bit more, boy, it's hard to beat these words of Titus 3. Thanks to God's kindness, His compassion, His generosity, and love. This is phileo love, a friendship love for human beings, the human beings that He created. We are justified by grace. We need to know this in light of what else we need to know about ourselves. And that is the fact that we start out in the same boat, sinking boat of sin. And if left to ourselves, we'll just remain blub, 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 sinking. Contrary to our human thought that we can do something to change the situation. But we cannot. The Apostle Paul in verse 3, leading up to our words of the text for today, emphasizes, especially to the believers then, as they didn't necessarily grow up as believers like most of us have, that, hey, you were once foolish in your thinking. Thinking that you could be right with God by the things that you do. But by the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, you have come to realize that it's not by anything that you can do, but it's all by God's kindness and love that you have God's favor. And so right away, the Apostle Paul throws work righteousness out the window. And the Apostle Paul knew a thing or two about work righteousness. In fact, for a good chunk of his life, he tried to attain God's favor by his life. And so he thought persecuting followers of Jesus was a work righteous act that would gain God's favor until God stopped him in his tracks and said, oh no, Paul, that's not gaining my favor at all. I'll tell you what does. The sacrifice of my son, whom you, Paul, are going to preach about. And Paul, by the grace of God, did a marvelous job without fear or trembling overall in promoting the fact that we do not gain God's favor through our work righteousness, but rather through the righteousness that Jesus Christ has attained for us. Because he, Jesus, is righteous. Now this is a daily battle that even we as Christians, followers of Jesus, need to fight, because by nature it's so ingrained in us to think that we bring something to the table, that we are more important than we really are. And so by the help of the Holy Spirit, we need to drown such self-centered thinking day in and day out so that the grace of God can come forth each and every day in our life and dominate. And when that truth, that we're justified by grace, dominates our life, well, the benefits are huge for us and for others. At the heart of that benefit is knowing that Jesus appeared in flesh as promised because of the kindness and love of God for human beings. Jesus took upon himself our thoughts of saving ourselves through our works. He took upon himself all the bad things that we do in life, all the self-centered thoughts and actions. He took upon himself and nailed them to the cross. For all the times that we think that God is angry, and we doubt God's love for us, Jesus took those thoughts to the cross as well. And through the cross reminds us that God does not hold his anger against us. He held it against his Son so that we could be God's own for time and eternity. And so the importance of celebrating Christmas, because of all what it leads to. But before Jesus made it to the cross, he had to do something. He had to show himself to be the one who was promised, that the prophets had talked about. And so Epiphany, he appeared among us and performed miracles, as the prophet said. He spoke good news, as the prophet said he did. He held people accountable, as the prophet said he would do. He became under the curse of the law, as we are under that curse, but obeyed the law, which we cannot do perfectly. Having done that, then, he went to the cross. The ultimate kindness and love of God at that cross. But thankfully, that's not the end of it, right? Because he rose again. And because he lives, we too shall live. Beautiful, simple truths that we cannot take for granted and that people need to know to get through this life. Because this life is full of challenges and heartaches and disappointments and sin and consequences. How do we deal with all that if we don't have Christmas and Good Friday and Easter and the return of Jesus pending? Which could be today. And by the grace of God, you're ready. Now, how did that grace of God become yours so that you could be ready for whenever that time Jesus comes for you or comes back for all of us? That grace has become your very own through His means of grace. The tools God uses to convey and give His forgiveness of sins. And where there's forgiveness of sins, there's a new way of looking at life and the gift of eternal life. And one of those means of grace that's important, and unfortunately not every Christian even understands this mean of grace, is baptism. And why do even some Christians fail to appreciate baptism? Because they're stuck on themselves. They think more of themselves than they ought. They think they have the ability to appease God's favor and bring themselves to God and have the audacity to ask God to come into their life. They're scum. We're all that by nature. We have no ability or right to be in front of God's presence. So how dare we think that baptism is our decision? And how dare we lessen the power of baptism by calling it a dedication? What an insult to God. Oh, that's right. You're God and He's not. Oh, careful words. Baptism is God's gift to us. Because we cannot bring ourselves to God. He gives Himself to us through holy baptism. It's His means of grace. Don't keep changing the words of Scripture to suit your human reason. Throw your human reason out the window when it comes to Scripture. Let God be God. And if you have a problem with that, take it up with God. You're going to lose. Baptism is a means of grace. By which we come His very own. Not by our power, not even by the power of the water, but by the power of the Word. The Word which is from God. The Word which is God. So praise the Lord that baptism is His act of grace, through which He can bring even little children who are sinful and in need of a Savior, that He can bring them, apart from our rationale, into His family and be saved. How can we rob children of that opportunity? His means of grace by which He conveys His forgiveness and new way of looking of life and eternal life. Because if salvation were in any part dependent on us, could you be sure that you are saved? Have I done enough? Could I do more? Well, we always could and always will have to do more if we follow the human logic. But by the grace of God, our salvation has been completely won for us and sealed for us by Jesus. And the gift of the Holy Spirit makes that clear. Through the gift of baptism and through the means of grace, also called the gospel, in the Word itself. God has come to us personally through such means to give us His gifts. What a generous, compassionate, kind, loving God. And that change in us that comes through holy baptism, that ought to be evident in how we live our life. That change in our life is for the better. It gives us confidence in this life. It refocuses our life from doing the bad things, tempted to do those things, to wanting to do the good things and to resist temptation. Romans 6 sums up how these blessings become ours and what they mean for us. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's what baptism does for us. God's kindness and love. He has given us the tool to drown the old Adam. And baptism reminds us each day how we need to do that and why. Through contrition and repentance. To drown that good swimmer. Or else it will take over. He's given us the tool. And through that tool, he's given us hope. We know where we're headed. Heaven is our home. In the meantime, he gives us opportunities to live our lives in light of that, to help direct others toward Jesus and offer them the gift of life through Jesus. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's a gift that comes through baptism, and our baptism reminds us that we have. And so, dear friends, continue to live your life with such confidence, using the tools that God has given to us, the tools that he has brought us unto himself, and then the tools that he uses to keep us to himself. Use those tools to build up your confidence as you go through this life day in and day out. God's got this. Even though the world's a mess right now. God, help us also continue to show respect for one another, something that's lacking in our world, to set the example for people, to show kindness and love, and to not be afraid as society would like us to live our lives right now. And as you live those benefits, as you live in confidence and with respect and not afraid, you're being a witness to those around you. You're being prepared to give the hope that you have, to talk that up. And again, you can use John 3:16 to sum up that hope, or you can use the words of Titus 3. There is so much to know and learn while we're on this earth. But there are some essential things to know. In Titus 3, that's one of those essential things. Essential for you and for others. And so we keep doing what God has called us to do. Telling others what they need to know. One of those things is that God loves them. And you are the one God uses to tell them that. Know this, you are justified by grace and all that that implies. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess our faith using the words of a confession of faith based on the third article of the Apostles' Creed on page 9. We join.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
What are we meaning to say with these words? In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith.
In this Christian church, he daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me from all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ.
This is most certainly true. Please be seated. As we now sing, You Are God, We Praise You. We pray. O Lord God, we thank you for the wondrous gift of Jesus Christ, your Son, and for the promised graces we have received through him.
We thank you that through his fruit of life and his obedience to death on the cross,
We thank you that in his resurrection we have the promise of life everlasting, and that is an ascension to the right hand of your majesty. We have the assurance that he continually intercedes for us.
Help us to believe and trust in him, love and serve him, that in all our thoughts, words, and actions, we may manifest his spirit. Renew our selfishness and subdue our self-indulgence. Deepen our sympathies, strengthen our hope, and confirm us to the great things.
Dwell in our homes, O Lord. And let the trust of our families be centered in you alone, so that no difficulty, trial, or adversity rob us of the conviction that you are our helper in every time of need. Relieve the afflictions of the weary and the sick, and dry the tears of the troubled and sorrowful. Lead them to look to you as the unfailing spring of healing and hope. O Christ, our true and only light, enlighten those who sit in night. Let those afar now hear your voice, and in your fold with us rejoice. Lord, give us always generous hearts to use what you have given, to spread your gospel near and far and bring people into heaven. Lord, as we have entered into a new year on the calendar, may we use this turn on the page as an opportunity to renew ourselves to you, to how we can glorify your name even more in this new year. How we can grow in our relationship with you and in Bible knowledge in this new year. How we can make the most of opportunities to go with your name and word in this new year, as people around us and far from us are still clueless about Jesus. Help us encourage those who have fallen away from our church and have disconnected with you, though in their minds they may think they are still connected. But lip service is not the same as faith in action. For those among us who are in need of physical healing, such as Carol Johnson, David Call, Elaine Call, and David Scaltetti, grant them such while also lifting up their spirits, knowing you remain true to your promises to be with your people always. For those among us who are in need of emotional support and stress relief, help them find it. It is with freedom and confidence we come before you with such requests. We also thank you for those who are able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. Continue to shower them with your blessings. And may those among us celebrating a wedding anniversary be renewed in their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. And again, just to highlight, we have a Bible study taking place here in the church proper. We're looking at the commandments. You can also find that Bible study online. We do have a call meeting today after the late service. We'll be extending two calls. That's the goal, one for kindergarten and then also one for grades 3 and 4. As we mentioned last week, the junior K admin release position, we extended that call to our teacher, Hannah Ripley. And she's accepted that, so at the end of the school year, she'll be moving from grades 3-4 to junior K and admin release. So that's why we're changed it up a little bit in who we're calling. Widens the pool of candidates. New members, we'll be taking in 9 new members at our late service today. We're thankful to God for that opportunity to expand our family in this way. Their names are in the bulletin there. As hopefully in the weeks to come, you'll have an opportunity to find out who they are and meet and greet them. We do have a Bible information course, a new starting point class starting this coming Tuesday. If you're interested in that, a refresher course, or if you know somebody you'd like to invite to learn about our church, that would be an opportunity to do so. Again, just see the weekly news for other things that are going on here at church, including the fact that our Worship Arts Committee did some cleaning of their closets, and they have some stuff for free for the taking. If you're interested, you can look at it. The stairway going up to the east balcony, you can find that table there of stuff that's for the taking. At this time, we'll watch our Wells Connection.
Hello, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. If 2020 was a year of isolation, then 2021 was a wonderful reminder of the importance of gathering in community, in person, to worship God and to serve others. That's the reason local congregations exist, and our synod exists to support our congregations. Here's a brief look at the year just passed.
Delegates to the Synod Convention passed a resolution to start 100 new home missions in 10 years, beginning in July 2023. It's an ambitious goal, reflecting confidence in our Savior and the gifts He's given us to spread His word.
It just makes me appreciate how ready, how willing Synod is to carry out this work, you know, that we're not just looking to sustain, we're not just looking to kind of plateau or stay where we are, but we understand that this gospel message is so important.
While the pandemic opened new opportunities for online ministries overseas, 2021 saw a renewed blossoming of in-person mission work as we restarted the construction process for our training center in Vietnam and developed plans to send new missionaries to South America, Africa, even the United Kingdom.
I've been praying for it very earnestly, and I can't tell you how overjoyed I am. I just can't. Cumbria is just wonderful. Yeah.
The construction of a new field house at Martin Luther College was just one visible example of how God blessed our ministerial education system in 2021. We still face a shortage of pastors and teachers, which is why there is a renewed emphasis on recruiting future students and reducing or eliminating the student loan debt of our new graduates.
We are going to be the future pastors and teachers and called workers in the Wells Synod, and it's just very encouraging to know that there's so many congregations and other people and schools that are supporting us like they are.
In 2021, Congregational Services released a suite of new resources to help congregations seize opportunities for gospel outreach and spiritual growth. A key theme is helping lay people realize their role as the frontline workers in Christ's kingdom.
And the Holy Spirit can work very strongly through those one-on-one relationships with people we know, with family and friends and acquaintances, and sometimes strangers too.
Christian Aid and Relief had a busy year in 2021 as the pandemic continued to cause illness, upset supply chains, and destabilize employment. Where there was need, Christian Aid and Relief provided help on behalf of all of us.
The pastor, give me the truth, trust me, you need help. I never before say something to somebody else where I need the support, no?
One of the more visible Wells events of 2021 was the release of the new hymnal. Tens of thousands of copies were shipped to congregations this past fall, and new shipments are arriving daily. Much more than just a collection of hymns, the new hymnal is part of a package of resources, both print and digital, that will serve congregations as we worship our Savior for decades to come.
The way that music connects text to the head and to the heart in such a special, memorable way is invaluable. There's nothing like it.
The future leaders of our church are our children and young adults. And one major way our Synod serves them is through the Wells International Youth Rally. After a lot of planning in 2021, the rally is set for this summer in Tennessee, with 2,500 young people expected.
We don't yet know all the challenges or opportunities 2022 will bring, but we do know that our heavenly future is secure in Christ, regardless of earthly events. While we're here, God has given us work to do in our families, in our churches, and the world, and He will bless us.
If that's what's doing.